It's Olympics time again, and it means we've got a good 2 weeks of distraction from everything that's happening in the world, right? CBC's Scott Russell is here to help us escape. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. I imagine this is a good time for you. This is one of your favorite times of the year.
It is one of my favorite times every 2 years. The Olympic Winter Games, Summer Games. Yeah, I love being on the Olympic cycle, and I always think it's the greatest sporting spectacle in the world. It has a great ideal, which is to bring people together in a peaceful time to see what's humanly possible. So yeah, there's a lot of excitement, and I think you're right. I think that right now everybody needs the Olympics and this kind of distraction.
And it's interesting, when I hear from people like my parents who watch for, they have their events, right? They tune in for the curling and the hockey, but over the course of 2 weeks, end up watching a bunch of other events. They really get into it. And I think that, a lot of viewers tune in and then just leave the TV on or their device, for hours and just watch whatever is being shown. And somehow people become fans of every event when Canadians are competing. Maybe that's just the Canadian way. I'm not sure. I'm sure you witnessed that. You've experienced it.
Absolutely, and I don't think it's just the Canadian way, Jeremy. I think it's the way for many countries in the world. The great thing about the Olympics is when you see the sport, it's actually quite spectacular. And one of the favorite sports on television is the ski jumping. To see those people take flight and go that distance, and then bobsledding. It's like NASCAR racing or something. It's tremendously exciting. And I think you're right. I think people fall in love with the sport, the spectacle of it, and things they may not have seen before. One of the biggest sports at the Olympic Winter Games is figure skating. And can you imagine that at the last games in Pyeongchang in 2018? I mean, Tessa Virtue and Scott Moir, when they skated in the ice dance and they won that fantastic gold medal, you're talking about 7 to 10 million Canadians are watching that when they might not watch figure skating in that many numbers over the course of a regular season. It's the spectacle of it all, Jeremy. It's tremendously exciting.
You're right. You got a point there, right? Sometimes when it's on a Sunday afternoon, how many people are really paying attention? But during the Olympics, all eyes are on them.
Yeah, and I think those athletes come to be representatives of their various countries. In our case, Canada, they become great ambassadors. We tend to pull for the people from home, right? So they come from so many communities across the country, and to see them excel on the world stage, it's fantastic. And I think it's something which becomes kind of intoxicating when you look at it.
And you've covered, what is it now, 15 Olympics? How many Olympics?
Yeah, 15 Olympics. It's quite a run. I started in Seoul, South Korea at the Summer Games in 1988, and I've been around the world many times. I was in Beijing in 2008 when they first hosted the Summer Games, and it's a spectacle. It's fantastic. It's been quite a journey.
I remember, we covered the Vancouver Olympics, and we had cameras, all over the city. Obviously not to the grand scale that the CBC covers it, but, we had cameras all over the city, for the gold medal hockey game outside the arena. We had two of them, like, in a mall, an electronics store. People were sitting on the floor watching. We were in a bar. And then, after the game, 200,000 people, they say, flooded into the streets. And even if you're not a hockey fan, which, it's hard to believe, but you were a fan for those few hours, that entire day. And I remember late into the night at the hotel room just hearing the honking and partying. You must have tons of memories and moments, whether it was when Canada won or maybe an athlete had that life-changing moment. Is there one or two that come to mind for you?
Bring up Vancouver, and CBC didn't have the rights to the games in Vancouver, but I was there working for the National, our nightly news program on the network, and I was at Whistler, and I remember during the men's hockey game, the common area or the village square in Whistler there was nobody there, absolutely silent, and then Crosby scores the goal, they win. The gold medal, and all of a sudden, all of these people pour into the village square in Whistler, and the place goes bananas. So there is that sort of great jubilation. You know, I remember John Montgomery coming from his medal ceremony in Whistler when he won the gold medal in skeleton, and he took that jug of beer, and you know, people were chanting his name and singing the national anthem. Absolutely spectacular. And then I remember at the Salt Lake City Games in 2002, when a cross country skier who I'd come to know, Becky Scott from Vermilion, Alberta. You know, Canadians don't win medals in cross-country skiing, but she did that day in Salt Lake City. And the reaction of Becky and her dad, Walter, who was there and mugging for the camera, it was great stuff. It was a moment of personal victory, but one that could be shared by the entire nation. And I think that's something which is tremendously alluring.
And I mean, let's talk about the games happening where they are, because that's, you know, it's been controversial from the beginning, whether it's, you know, the virus or that country's, you know, relationships with people or other countries. It's kind of a challenge to cover the games for CBC this time, right? With the team being split, a lot of people staying back in Canada for it.
It's a challenge. It's one we were able to overcome in the Tokyo experience. But, you know, there's no question about it. To not be in the host city of the games is an impediment. But it's our challenge to be able to take Canadians there through the magic of television and whatever virtual means we can use, and to tell those stories. But you're right, it's a challenge. There's a much smaller crew in Beijing. The crew is there mostly to gather reaction from the athletes when they come through mixed zones at the end of their events. The crew is restricted to where they can go in China and in the city of Beijing. They can't be exposed to the Chinese people. So that is a challenge. It's also a challenge to tell the story of these games from the standpoint of how we as a country relate to China when our athletes march into the Bird's Nest Stadium for the opening ceremony. Because you're right, there are human rights considerations. COVID is a factor. There will be a diplomatic boycott of these games on the part of Canada, the United States, Australia, some other major countries. So we have to balance our coverage in order to tell the story of these Olympic Games. But I'll tell you this, the stars of the show, once the opening ceremony begins, are the athletes themselves. They're there to compete, and that is, to me, that's the most important part of the Olympic Games. It's a great sporting spectacle, and I think these athletes have won the right through their hard work and determination to compete at the games.
Absolutely, and you guys are going to be covering that almost literally every hour of the day. So for the next 2 weeks, our schedules are going to look a little bit different, right? Because you've got the time zone change, so events are happening here in Canada basically either in the middle of the night, early morning, but for prime time, evening viewing is when we're going to see a lot of it happening too. So how's it all happening with the CBC programming this time around?
We're on 23 hours a day, Jeremy, and that's, you know, there's Olympic morning with Andy Petrillo, then there's Olympic daytime with Andrew Chang and Perdita Felicien. Then you're right, we roll into prime time. Overnight, we'll still be bringing you sport, because sport will actually be going on in China. So we'll have the day covered, and not only on the broadcast platform, but, you know, on so many other platforms, whether it be online and streaming, on CBC Gem, you know, our YouTube channel will be operating. We'll be producing material out of our digital studio. We'll have digital shows on cbcsports.ca, which will bring you up to speed on the 1 hour that we don't broadcast on television. So it's available all the time on every platform, and our challenge is to be able to bring the most important of that material to Canadians so they can access it wherever they are and whenever day one. And you know, the schedule, the sporting schedule in Beijing has been adjusted to a certain extent in order to meet the prime time needs of a North American audience. I mean, that's just the facts of life when you're dealing with the United States and NBC, right? Mm-hmm. So you'll see a lot of figure skating in prime time. You'll see a lot of hockey in prime time. Curling will be occurring in prime time when it comes to Canadian broadcast time. So there's going to be lots going on at all times of the day.
Absolutely. You mentioned 23 hours. So what do people do for that other 1 hour? Is they're going to watch Dragon's Den reruns, I think is what's going to happen.
No, I think Coronation Street, right? I think Coronation Street is still on. And you're still going to be able to get the national news on CBC News Network as well. But the rest of the time, we'll be hard at it with the Olympic coverage.
All right. Well, we're going to be watching. You know how this works, Scott. Normally, at the end of a segment, we say, remember, tune in at 7 p.m. I can't even do that. Just basically go to the CBC, websites, and you're going to see the Olympics coverage. Is that fair to say, Scott?
Absolutely. And you know, go to CBC Jam. But, you know, on the main broadcast channel, Olympic Games primetime will be on at 7 p.m. Eastern time, and you'll get everything at that time, right through to 2 in the morning.
Absolutely. All right, so the CBC, Scott Russell, joining us online from Toronto. Great chatting with you. Enjoy the games.
Hey, thanks, Jeremy. All the best.